At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident hemposapien Vivian McPeak will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is the Hemp Present Resistance. I am the executive director of the world's largest annual cannabis policy reform event, the Seattle Hemp Fest, speaking flower to power for 29 years and found at hempfest.org. I'm also the author of the book Protestable, a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest, also found at hempfest.org. This show is a weekly reef for Radio Rebellion, where I speak with some of the principal risk takers, movers and shakers, and history makers of the cannabis industry, culture, and reform movement. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Today's guest on Hemp Present is Colleen Manley. Ms. Manley has an executive MBA from Thunderbird School of Global Management with a specialty in business organization, sustainability, and succession planning, and has earned her Doctor of Law and Master of Law degrees from the University of Arizona. Colleen has extensive transactional experience regarding complex tax, legal, and financial matters, including business planning and transactions, mergers and acquisitions, contract negotiations, and financial estate and business succession planning. So it might be counterintuitive to some that Colleen's other life has been her journey as a shareholder and a director of TransHigh Corporation, aka High Times. Colleen is the cousin of Thomas King Forsaad, the founder of High Times magazine and counterculture icon. Currently, Colleen is working on producing a feature film with Academy Award-winning professionals on the life of Tom Forsaad. She's also planning on creating a branding company featuring Tom, which will be rolled out along with a biography on the mythic and controversial entrepreneur. And she's joined me today to tell us more. Welcome, Colleen, to Cannabis Radio.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. I was 16 years old in 1994 when the first High Times magazine hit the shelves, and I purchased that first issue in a head shop in Lake Tahoe. And just High Times had a giant impact on my life. I'm just curious, how did you become aware of High Times magazine and your highly influential uncle? What was your introduction to the world of High Times?
Well, my introduction was through my relationship with my cousin Tom. And he moved to New York, left Arizona, and he would come back often to visit us at our house. He was close to my father. And so he unfortunately passed away, took his life in 1978. And then the High Times was in a trust for a period of time. Tom had prescribed that the shares of stock be distributed on the first day of the new millennium, 1/1/2000, and then the shareholders were determined according to a formula. But I was involved after his death through my father and his estate plan. And when I became a shareholder in 2000, January of 2000, I was made a director, and then that began my journey with High Times, officially.
You know, he was a very radical, high-profile change maker, yet High Times was hugely successful early on with a circulation of more than 500,000 copies a month and revenues approaching $10 million by 1977. selling as many copies per issue as Rolling Stone and National Lampoon at the time. But I read that before he started the magazine, Tom used his skills that he learned in the Air Force to fly across the border for several years, trafficking drugs from Mexico and Colombia. What can you tell us about the man? Did you know him well?
He was quite a bit older than I was, but he would come and visit my father, and they would talk, and he would sometimes bring magazines and things that he would give to us. And over the years, we'd hear stories I'd hear him talking to my dad on the phone, and he would tell stories about smuggling. And he predominantly smuggled cannabis, and said that I remember him telling us, if you were going to be a smuggler, you better be living on the penthouse. He believed in making, you know, sharing the goods with everybody, and the fortune with the cannabis. But he also wanted to make a good. He'd like to have a lot of money to start, not only to start High Times, but he was also involved in a lot of pioneer movements, the women's movements. He was very, very socially active. But the stories your viewers will have to see the feature film that comes out, which will tell the whole story, because the smuggling adventures were amazing. He was just incredible, legendary.
So what was it like for you growing up, connected to the High Times guy? That must have been some serious street cred for you. I mean, in my circles, that would have been the epitome of cool factor. Were you culturally aligned with High Times when you were young?
Totally. And yes, it was very, I felt like a celebrity. And my kids, I have four kids, and there's a point in each of my kids' life where somebody somewhere will realize that I'm as involved in High Times as I am, and they'll find out. And the kids, I have to give them the talk on High Times and, you know, what it means. And I remember one time, I think it was my daughter, she had to do a project on things that are symmetrical. And she was going to take to school the front of a High Times showing a marijuana leaf. And like my cousin, I try to stay off the grid a lot. And, but it did affect my life along the way in many ways, just because you almost felt like a celebrity being a director and a shareholder of High Times and being so involved in it.
I can imagine. So you're working on some projects that will enable us to know Thomas Forsaad better. You kind of mentioned a feature film and a biography that you're spearheading on Tom Forsaad's life. What can you tell us about those projects?
Well, I can't give you all the details, but I will tell you that we have the producer involved has already won an Academy Award and some Academy Award nominations. The screenwriter is very well known in Hollywood, and we've already all determined to work together, and we're going to be at the point fairly soon where the next step will be finding talent in a director, and then we're going to it'll be a major feature film on his life that we hope to win an Academy Award nomination on. And I've been working on this with some other colleagues that will also be producers, researching all of Tom's life, because Tom was very, very good about keeping everything confidential. So finding all the details about his life to be able to produce a feature film has taken us about 10 years to do, but it will not only be just a feature film, we think it's going to be a call to action. So will people see it, and it's going to be relevant to everything happening right now, full circle on his life. And he was a freedom fighter too. It wasn't just cannabis. There's many other areas that were important to him, and the freedom of the press, and all this will be revealed in the movie that we're producing. And then we have a very high level company that has already kind of green lighted a biography on him. And then we'll be also opening or creating a branding company to align itself with the success of the current cannabis movement right now.
Colleen, in that vein, this is a rare opportunity for me to proudly state that I was the 1996 High Times Magazine Freedom Fighter of the Month, the 2001 Freedom Fighter of the Year.
Congratulations. Oh, wow.
And the 2012 yeah. High Times Lester Grinspoon Lifetime Achievement Award recipient. High Times has been really good to me. But there are thousands, if not millions, of community activists who've sacrificed so that there could be this nascent cannabis industry. And there's many Americans still incarcerated over cannabis. In your opinion, how committed is High Times to finishing the job and seeing cannabis federally legalized?
Absolutely, 100% committed still. We call them the prison. We've always called them the prisoners of war. And since I've been involved as a actual director and shareholder, We've always had a very close relationship with Normal. That was sort of part of the trust. And a lot of High Times success without Tom was due to a wonderful attorney named Michael Kennedy and his wife, Eleanor mm-hmm. Kennedy. And they were also, Michael was a director, and he and his legal team gave many, many hours on behalf of High Times, helping people, prisoners of war. And many times when people would come to us with situations where they hadn't been incarcerated, and we would fight for them. And now with this, with so much happening, this will give us an ability to see who's still there and bring them out I had a friend here in town whose uncle was one of the largest marijuana smugglers at the same time Tom was, and his uncle, who only had no violence and only with cannabis, had a lifetime prison sentence, and he's just getting out now.
Wow.
Just for cannabis.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if not for High Times Magazine, this you know, cannabis radio might not even exist. I mean, I can't even imagine, the impact that High Times had culturally, politically. And let's just mention that, High Times had a lot of great investigative journalism as well.
Absolutely.
In the magazine beyond the issue of just cannabis and stuff, and was, very, very influential, remains a very influential magazine. I'm speaking to Colleen Manley. We're going to take our first break here. Word from our sponsors and advertisers. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back with our second segment.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Elevate your every day with that Shuggies feeling, with the sweet taste of Shuggies. Add a cup of Shuggies to your morning coffee. Ah, how sweet it is. Shuggies infuses cannabis and cane sugar to make it the perfect sweetener with benefits. Make your happy hour happier with a dunk of Shuggies in your drink. Order your Shuggies now at shoogies.com or find it in dispensaries throughout California. Whenever you crave a little sweet, pick up Shuggies, the sweet, sweet take anywhere treat.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we are back on Hemp Present with Colleen Manley from High Times Magazine. Colleen, as someone who's been a counterculture person as well as a member of the cannabis community my entire adult life, I can say that many things are dramatically changing as cannabis is making this transition to black market commodity to legal retail product. And there's been big changes taking place at High Times. You served as a director of High Times Holding Corporation since March 2017. And for the past 18 years, you served as a director of Trans High Corporation. There are some who might say that High Times organization is sacrificing some soul in order to ascend to a higher into the world of corporate power players. And that's just criticism, I think, that anybody gets in a time of transition like this. But how would you characterize the changes at High Times, the magazine, as well as the company?
The group that purchased a large percentage of the High Times is represented by Adam Levin, and he is he's got the soul of a counterculture hero, and he is we're trying to reach beyond and actually use High Times brand in the sale of actual cannabis, and we're moving in that direction, and it has been a transition. There was no question, because the old group that had been running High Times for all those years, obviously Michael passed, and we have new leadership, but we're fully committed to regain and reaffirm the edgy outlaw spirit and ethos that has always been part of High Times. With everything that's happening, there has been an adjustment, but we're excited to move towards regaining our unique stature in the cannabis community going forward.
I think there's just a lot of, you know, this is just a time of tremendous transition and advancement and development for the entire cannabis, you know, paradigm. And I think there's just a lot of cultural soul seeking going on. It's just an awkward, but an important transitional time. Would you agree?
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. When you go, you know, I'm not an expert in black market commodities, but when you've got an industry that has been, we've been running from the law for so many years, and now with they call it, you know, the different MBA sort of group that's coming in trying to run some of the cannabis industry, which is good. We want it to be
a profession.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But we also, with High Times, we're so much beyond just cannabis. And in the movie and in the magazine, we want to capture the spirit, and we call it the outlaw spirit, which doesn't mean that we're out to do crazy and bad things. It's just that we want the innovation and the questioning, the continued question of institutions and to always be trying to reach for a better society and more educated society in the areas that High Times has always promoted.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating watching cannabis make this transition from being this underground illicit substance to being a serious market commodity. In your professional life, has it ever come up? You know, you're a sixth generation Arizonian and a member of one of the state's oldest family law firms. You're a highly respected attorney yourself. I imagine at some point your connection to High Times has come up in your professional life. Have you ever had to defend or explain High Times to someone in your professional life? And if so, is that changing? Because it's really changing. I mean, it's becoming a respected thing.
Yes, in the early days, there was trickiness there. And of course, you know, we didn't have the internet. Yeah, we didn't have the internet. So it was harder and harder. You know, I was proud of my position, but I didn't put it on my letterhead. And so there was less, it was more difficult to figure out my affiliation.
Right.
But as time went on, obviously with the internet, and interestingly enough, in the last probably 4 years, clients come in, they come in a lot of times every year. I have more people coming to me asking me, help me to find a cannabis investment. And I don't do that. But so it's going from being in the black market to people begging me to find ways that they can invest. These are right. And these are corporate, CEOs in just in normal industries who feel like they've got to catch the wave, and they'll keep hounding me. So that's where it's got to now. And a lot of people are interested in promoting Tom. And I've been very, very selective over the years, waiting for the right time to sort of reintroduce him to the world. And I believe that this is a great, great period right now. And I think he'll do a lot. Yeah.
That's exciting because, you know, who in the world doesn't know about High Times Magazine? Anybody from our generation certainly is aware of High Times Magazine. But unlike, you know, counterculture figures like Jack Kerouac and people like that, not a lot of people really know about Tom Fersaad. I mean, it's really a story that needs to be told, don't you think?
Oh, well, obviously, because we're going to be producing a feature film. But you got to remember, too, Tom made a conscious decision early on that he was going to be off the grid. In fact, I think when he was in the military, some medical exam that he was going to have, and he sent someone else that took the exam, the medical exam for him. So he didn't have to go himself. And he said he was Tom. He didn't want to be on. And you'll see in the movie, it was absolute by design. Wherever he could, his name was not connected in to High Times. He had reasons to be fearful as time went on, and he became a little paranoid. So he became more and more desire to be an unknown. And so it's very difficult to find information on him.
Absolutely fascinating.
Yes, it is.
The High Times website says that, quote, the purpose of High Times is and always has been to connect people to the plant. For more than 45 years, we've been fueled by the simple belief that the cannabis movement is about and should focus on the community, end quote. How does High Times intend to focus on the community moving forward?
Well, I think initiatives we're doing right now is trying to market research. I hate to call it that because it sounds so clinical, to understand what the quote community is right now. Mm-hmm. We want to analyze and understand. We feel like in the last the years since the magazine was purchased, there's been so much chaos and change, and a lot of people have come and gone. And so in order for us to promote and to be a crusader for the industry, we want to be genuine. And so we want to understand this new community. And that's what we're working on right now as we're rolling out different initiatives. And as we're also making moves to getting closer to the plant and touching the plant as part of our business model.
Yeah, I mean, in the last 10 years, the cannabis community has changed and grown tremendously. I mean, it's
absolutely
it's exponential. It's almost incalculable what's going on. So that's going to be really fascinating to see kind of what you come up with.
It's incredible. I get so many calls all the time, people telling me about or asking me for how to get investments and telling me, you know, thank you so much. My grandmother, you know, we've talked her into cannabis and it saved the day. It's just the medical. My mother died of pancreatic cancer, and if we hadn't used cannabis instead of morphine, morphine was making her sick. It's just so there's so many different areas that cannabis is touching right now, and that's why it's such a it's a little bit of a fragmented community at this time. And so we want to try to at High Times understand it, and then be able to connect with the different sectors in the right way without losing the soul of our company, and that has been in existence for so many years. That's our goal.
I am talking to Colleen Manley. We're going to take our last break and come back with our final questions.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hempresent. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong hemperer of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we're back with our final questions for Colleen Manley. Colleen, your bio mentioned that you have a commitment to children's issues and charities, as well as the environment and sustainable living. These are tremendously important and noble issues. Can you briefly touch on why those values are important to you? And then if there's anything else you would like to add before we go as well.
Oh, thanks. Yes, I am. I have four of my own children. And one of the areas I'm very involved in is actually in the addiction area. And I believe that alcohol is far more dangerous than cannabis. And I have discovered over the years, as I've been analyzing the two areas, that there are so many young people that need help. And so that's that I've sort of dedicated myself, because I have a lot of young kids and I help a lot of the kids and their friends. And so that is, and as I have more time, that's something that I'm going to devote my resources to. And the environment has always been important to me, and I'm going to be working on some projects on sustainable building and sustainable residential building, which will include gardens, which will include every house should have a cannabis garden. That's important. So I'm going to start a new movement in that, having that in as many residents as they can. And if you're living in a condo or something, you can always put it in a pot, but people should grow their own. And my sort of final thought is just everyone look out for the movie. Don't have a name for it yet. And we really appreciate everybody's a long time commitment to High Times, and the best is yet to come. I just encourage everybody to stay connected with this wonderful company, and I'm grateful for everybody's involvement with the High Times over all these years. We really appreciate it from the company and from our family.
You know, I want to say I actually have a giant collection of High Times magazines. I was saving them for years and years and years. And some of them have had the pages turned a lot of times, but I cherish my collection. It's a time capsule, politically, culturally, in so many ways. And I want to thank you and your family for and Tom. For everything that you have given to the cannabis culture. And thank you so much for your openness to talk about your cultural uncle and everything that he did to shape the cannabis
culture. I appreciate it very much.
All right. You take care.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Now I'm going to get to a weekly feature, Hemp Present on CannabisRadio.com. That's the quote of the week, and here it is. There are only two kinds of pot dealers, those that need forklifts and those that don't. I'm the kind who needs a forklift. And those are the immortal words of Tom Forsaad. That concludes this installment of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. I want to thank Brasco, my man of the control room, and all the Cannabis Radio sponsors and advertisers. Join me next week for some more reefer repartee and cannabis confabulation with some special hempo sapien on our journey to justice. As we silence the violence, increase the peace, and promote unity in the cannabis community with impunity. When it comes to prohibition, you got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find yours and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. Till then, my friends, stay strong, stand tall, and toke it easy. Turn up the music, maestro. I'm out.
Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.